and bury it in the sand at the beach and like it, though you don't want him to get too excited about playing tea party with the dolls. 17. He doesn't lose his mind when someone spills food and drinks in his car or puts a muddy footprint on the back of his seat. It shows he's not so fussy about messy kids, because nothing wrecks your car quicker than having kids. His seats will see the inside of a Happy Meal. 18. He can make it through a one-on-one game with your child and maybe even let him win once. Note, dunking on an 8-year-old and yelling, "In your face!" is not something a good potential father would do. 19. He's willing and able to teach you how to play a sport, which shows he has the patience of Job. 20. He's willing to go to family functions with you and the kids, even after hearing the stories about your crazy Aunt Thelma and how she likes to get a little tipsy and call out your new boyfriends in front of company. 21. He's actually interested in how your child is doing in school, and not only encourages him to do well, but gives suggestions on how he can excel. 22. He can be gentle with your kids, but he's capable of being firm with them, too, though you don't want to see him start taking off his belt within the first half hour of meeting the children. I know kids can be bad, but that's a little much. 23. He's capable of forgiveness and shows that even when your kid does the seemingly unforgivable, or at least the highly questionable. Chapter 13. Strong, independent, and lonely women. A world without women would go a little something like this. Men wouldn't wash or shave. We wouldn't work. Our wardrobe would be pretty simple. Sweats, t-shirts, and socks. Maybe some sneakers if we absolutely had to go outside. There'd definitely be no need for dishes or vegetables or much food for that matter. A paper plate or two, some cold cuts, pizza and beer would do just fine. Furniture in the house would be kept to a minimum. We'd have a recliner, a refrigerator, a really big television, and, of course, a remote. We'd need only two television channels, ESPN and ESPN2. And we wouldn't need to go on vacation. We'd just go to Vegas. They've got everything we need in Vegas. You can gamble there, smoke cigars, eat steak, play golf, and go to the strip club, and really, you wouldn't need that "what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas" slogan, because men wouldn't go blabbing about what they did anyway. This is all to say that men are very simple creatures who would be prone to doing some very simple things if not for the women in our lives. After all, you all are the masters of handling it. You work full-time, then come home to the full-time job of being wives and mothers and everything to everybody. You're raising kids, all too many of you without any help from the men who helped create them. You're making most of the major purchasing decisions in our households. You're taking over key positions in the corporate world and bringing home the bacon, some of you more than the men in your lives. You're excelling in college, where you outnumber young men at a ridiculous rate, and you're holding up our churches and educating our children in the school system, in effect, nurturing and protecting our minds and spirits. We men welcome and appreciate this more than you ever will know, mainly because we're a little too proud sometimes to fess up to it. Still, the strength it takes to handle it is not, in a man's mind, where a woman's power lies. To us, your power comes from one simple thing. You're a woman, and we men will do anything humanly possible to impress you so that ultimately we can be with you. You're the driving force behind why we wake up every day. Men go out and get jobs and hustle to make money because of women. We drive fancy cars because of women. We dress nice, put on cologne, get haircuts, and try to look all shiny and new for you. We do all of this because the more our game is stepped up, the more of you we get. You're the ultimate prize to us. This may be a hard pill for you to swallow, and some of you may be offended by what I'm about to say, but I say this in truth, and an abiding love for the opposite sex. Somewhere along the way, women lost sight of this. Maybe in part because we men have played so many games, pulled so many tricks out of our hats, just plain done so much wrong in our quest to get women, that we've convinced you all that you are not important to us. Perhaps it has to do with how women are raised these days. There's been the constant encouragement from your mothers and aunties and grandmas and female mentors to educate yourselves and get great jobs and to be independent women, no matter the cost, even if it means putting off having serious relationships. Or maybe you all have just been worn down by the constant media obsession with perfection, with everything from magazine covers to television shows to commercials and blogs and everything else telling you to nip it and tuck it and suck it in and dress it up and look like Halle Berry and Beyonce if you want to attract a good man, knowing full well that all of you possess a great beauty all your own. And only Halle can look like Halle. And only Beyonce can look like Beyonce. Whatever the case, we men are no longer connecting with that special part of you that makes you a woman. That thing that makes you so very beautiful to us. And that also happens to make us feel more like men. As I've already explained, the three ways a man shows you he loves you is by professing, providing, and protecting. Which means that if you've got your own money, your own car, your own house, a Brinks alarm system, a pistol, and a guard dog, and you're practically shouting from the rooftops that you don't need a man to provide for you or protect you, then we will see no need to keep coming around. What in the world do you need us for if you have all of that? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. We don't mind it if you have yourself totally together. You can have your own house. You can have your own money. You can own your own car. You can have the Brinks alarm system, the guard dog, and the pistol too. But if the man who is pursuing your affection is never allowed by you to exhibit his ability to provide or protect, then how can he possibly see himself professing his love to a woman who has not allowed him to feel like a man? The things you've acquired and gained financially and educationally can never be bigger than the relationship with the man. His DNA will not allow for that. Translation: we appreciate it when women treat us like men. When you let us know that you need us, the need to feel needed is way bigger to us than we've let on. We have to feel needed by you in order to fulfill our destiny as a man. Of course, I've heard women say, I'm not going to belittle myself to make him feel more like a man. If he can't handle my money and my success and my independence, then he can't handle me. We understand and can handle strong women. In fact, were the products of strong women, women who handle it. It's no secret that you allow us men to believe we're the head of the household, but it's you who makes all the key decisions in the house and with the kids. It's no secret to us that no matter who's bringing in the most money, it's you who ultimately handles the finances and allocates how the cash is going to be spent. It's no secret that when we argue, we may act like we're right, but we know that ultimately, if we want to restore the peace, you're going to get your way. We're cool with all of this. But if you say things to this effect without keeping up the charade of our being essential to the household, or you handle our egos with anything less than great care, then we're not going to want to be involved with you. In our minds, if you've got your own money, you don't need ours. If you know karate and can knock somebody flat on his behind by yourself, then you don't need our protection. And if we can't exercise two of the major components that make up who we are as men, providing and protecting, then we're not about to profess our love for you. We absolutely will not say, I'm your man, if you don't let us fulfill who we are. What will end up happening instead, we'll sleep with you and then walk away. It's the hard truth, but that's real. When I was a young man, I was in a relationship with a woman who I thought I loved. I had dropped out of college and was in between jobs, just started to find my way as a comedian. She was an enormous help to me. I was struggling, and she was holding it down for us financially, I admit, but I thought I was more than making up for my lack of cash by being all I could be around the house, doing what was necessary to keep our home in order. See, that's what being in a real relationship is all about. Finding that balance. Even in the midst of adversity, and adversity will come, those wedding vows they make you say, the preacher makes you say them because he and everyone else who's ever been married knows what's coming, for better or for worse. Worse is coming. In sickness and in health, somebody's going to get sick. For richer or for poorer, somebody might end up broke, temporarily laid off. Hard times will certainly come. The question is, how are you going to deal with it? This was made clear to a friend of mine one particular day when he went grocery shopping. His woman was loading up the cart with everything she needed for the house, the meats, the vegetables, the fruits, the drinks, and everything. And then they turned down the aisle with the pineapple juice. Now, one thing you need to know about my friend, he loves pineapple juice. Steak with pineapple juice. I can't tell you which is better to him. And when they turned down that aisle, the first thing he put his hand on during that entire grocery store trip was a bottle of pineapple juice. He didn't think anything of it. Just grabbed a bottle and dropped it into the cart. She had her back turned when he did it, but when she turned around and saw the pineapple juice in there on the pile of groceries, she snatched it out and said, "What is this?" "Pineapple juice," he said simply. "And who put this pineapple juice in the basket?" she asked. "Well, I did," he said, a little confused. "I mean, who else in the world would have put a bottle of pineapple juice into their cart?" "You," she practically spit, "you don't have any money." And then she did the unthinkable. She took that bottle of pineapple juice and purposely dropped it on the floor. It hit the tile with the loudest crash and broke into what looked like a million little pieces of shiny glass shards and yellow liquid, all of it just inches away from their feet. She glanced at it, then gave him the eye and pushed the grocery cart on, away from the mess and him. He walked out the store and waited for her. When she finally came out, he loaded the groceries into the car, with tears in his eyes. You just can't imagine how that hurt him. He knew he didn't have any money, but all he wanted was a damn bottle of pineapple juice. And in that singular act, in that one moment, his lady shoved into his face that she didn't consider him to be a man. It was more important to her in that moment to prove what he already knew, that he wasn't fulfilling his role as a provider. I'm not suggesting that she didn't have the right to have a man who was pulling his weight, but if she knew him, and men, she would have understood that making him feel less than a man wasn't going to get her what she needed and wanted out of her man. Her actions were only going to drive him away. Not long after, he left her. And that is pretty much the reaction you can expect from men in similar situations where a woman makes more than her partner and she rubs that fact in his face. Will he be intimidated by your money and your success? Of course, because you're taking him out of his role as a man, to be the provider. It's what society expects of him, and really, what you've been taught to expect of men, too, that he be able to sweep you up and take care of you. Sure. When a man is young and doesn't know any better, he's busy being all this other stuff he thinks fits into what it means to be a man, dating an excess of women, recklessly spending his money on things he doesn't really need, much less can afford, using his muscle instead of his brain in his quest to appear tough. But most of us grow out of this eventually, and when we do, we recognize that a real man provides for the ones he loves, even a male convict, will sit behind bars and tell you, "The first thing I'm going to do when I get out of here is take care of my family and get a job. That's all I want to do." Most every man comes to that realization. Some men never come out of the ignorance and die fools, alone. But for the most part, when we get around other men and try to validate our manhood, it's not about how many women we've got, but who we're taking care of. We are trained to be providers for you, and you are trained to look for that in us. So the moment that order of things is thrown off, the relationship is out of sync. If a woman also has the bad habit of throwing a man's deficiencies in his face, then he has a problem of a whole different magnitude. He's going to struggle with not being the provider, and she's going to feel like his ego is getting in the way of her happiness, and everyone involved is bound to get and be miserable. So how do we get through this situation? Don't give up your money or your job or your education or the pride and dignity that come with all of that. Just be a lady. Oh, I can hear the collective teeth sucking. It's as loud as a police siren and helicopter whir in Compton. I can see the universal arm folding and eyebrow raising as well. But you're getting hot and bothered by what I'm saying isn't going to change the fact that men, no matter what their financial situation, background, social status, or backstory, want their women to let them take care of them. And I say to you, defiant ones, go ahead and act like this isn't important if you want to, but the women who accept that it's okay to let the guy take the lead sometime are going to win. So do you want a man or not? You can do this. We know you're strong enough to move the television set, but you should let him do it. Say it's too heavy for you. It's a man's job. Yes, you're right. There's nothing wrong with your arm, and you're perfectly capable of opening your own car door. But doggone it, when you're going somewhere with a man, let him treat you like a lady and open the car door for you. If he doesn't automatically open said car door, stand by the darn thing and don't get in the vehicle until he realizes he needs to get his behind out of the driver's seat and come around and open the car door for you. That's his job. We get that you've got plenty of money to pay for dinner, but sit there and let him pick up that check. That's what he's supposed to do when he's out with a woman on a date. Yes, you are independent, and you don't need anyone to take out the trash for you, or hang your pictures, or run to the Home Depot and pick up the supplies you need to fix the sink. But I lie to you not. If you put your finger in your mouth and act like you haven't a clue what to do or the strength to do it, your man will step right in and handle that for you. With a smile, if you add a hearty, "Baby, thank you so much for doing this for me. I don't know what I'd do without you." See, a lot of men would be better men if they were required to be, well, men. We're in this new age, and women have taken on these roles out of necessity. I'll admit that. But at some point, you're either going to have to accept that you're going to be the big old strong lonely woman, or you're going to have to back down and just be a lady. Women play roles all the time. Why is it when it comes to this, you're so unwilling to play the role, even when you know it's going to give you what you want and need? In the long run, being a girl allows you to relax. Why not take the opportunity to relax? Honest to goodness, I promise you, it's not hard. It won't kill you. And whatever it is that you need, he will hop to it if you just show him a little appreciation. Take a page from my wife and I. There's not a day that goes by that we don't compliment each other at least several times a day. But on one specific day recently, when she left me in charge of the kids while she ran some errands and did some work around the house, she saw I was worn out from chasing behind the children. Chasing behind children is not something I do. I mean, I can do it, but it's exhausting. Come on. Still, when Marjorie walked into the room and saw the harried look on my face, she very sweetly flipped the script on me and said, "Steve, thank you so much for watching the children. You're a great father." Boy, I can't tell you how good that made me feel. She had hardly gotten the words out of her mouth before I hopped to, making sure those kids kept out of her way and stayed quiet while she was finishing up what she had to do. Had that compliment not come through, I would have been salty about having to sit around with the kids all day when there were so many other things that I could have been doing and wanted to do. That compliment, you see, made me remember why I was in the game, and especially why Marjorie is on the team. Appreciating a man, not undermining his confidence, is the best way to get the best out of your guy, and the best way to appreciate him is by being a girl, and especially letting him be a man. Now, I'm convinced that being a girl is a lost art form, something that every woman can use some lessons in. So I've taken the liberty of showing you how to be a girl in some of the basic but most important situations in which you'll find yourself with a man. Guaranteed, if he's worth his salt, he'll be all in. How to be a girl on a date. Don't tell him where you'd like to go. Tell him the kind of food and atmosphere you enjoy, and then let him figure out a place that he thinks will suit your taste. Don't tell him you'll drive. Let him get you to where you all need to go. Don't tell him you want to go Dutch. Let him pay. Don't invite him up for a nightcap. Kiss him goodnight and let him figure out what he needs to do to earn the cookie. But not before the 90-day probation ends. How to be a girl around the house. Don't try to fix the sink, the car, the toilet, or anything else. Let him do it. Don't take out the garbage, paint, or mow the lawn. That's his job. Don't do any of the heavy lifting. He was born with the muscle it takes to move sofas, television sets, bookshelves, and the like. Don't be afraid to make a meal or two. The kitchen is both your and his friend. Don't wear a t-shirt to bed every night. A little lingerie never hurt anybody. Chapter 14. How to Get the Ring. Your man knows what you want. The ultimate commitment. The ring. He knows, too, what he needs. You. It seems obvious, then, that he would get himself to the jeweler, pick out a nice, hefty diamond, and then plot out an on-bended-knee proposal that would make the Will You Marry Me pitch that Grammy Award-winning singer Seal made to supermodel Heidi Klum. He proposed in an igloo he had built on top of a glacier, 14,000 feet above sea level. Looked like an invitation to the prom. But your proposal never comes. And the way your man is acting, it's not coming anytime soon. And so you wait, and wait, and wait some more. This is the story of all too many women, girlfriends who are putting in some serious work, not only because they love their men, but because they want to prove they're the one. Everybody is clear about how you prove to him you're the one. Do all the things for him a wife would do. Support him emotionally. Be loyal. Work it out in the bedroom. Tell him you love him often and show it, too. Maybe live with him. Have his babies. Get close, really close, to his mom and sisters and friends. Basically, you give him everything he needs and all of what he wants. Check out this strawberry letter from a listener who called herself Biological Clock Ticker. A 31-year-old single, childless woman in a relationship she said feels like a 3-year-long booty call. He tells me he loves me and wants me to have his children. My biological clock is ticking like crazy, and we have been trying for the past year to get pregnant to no avail. I believe that this is a sign. The problem is that he says he does not want to be in a committed relationship or marriage because he doesn't want to answer to anyone. As long as I have known him, I have shown him that I am not at all like the other women that he has dated. I was there for him when he injured himself, quit his job, when his father died, and when he was unemployed for months. I have been encouraging him and am there for him financially and physically. I've been waiting and hanging in there, hoping he'll marry me because I don't think that I will get anyone else that would want to have a child with me. Am I being a fool for waiting for him? Should I just let it go? She and all too many women in similar predicaments can't understand why, after all of this hard work, he won't give her the one thing she needs and wants. Well, let me break it down for her and you. Your man hasn't asked you to marry him because of one or more of the following reasons. 1. He is still married to someone else. 2. You're really not the one he wants, or the real answer you don't want to hear. 3. You haven't required him to marry you or set a date. In fact, I know of a few guys whose ladies are smack dab in the middle of this predicament right now. One that stands out is a couple that dated for a year before she ended up pregnant. To her credit, the single mom, she has a son from an earlier failed relationship, knew she didn't want to have a second child with a man who wasn't there to help raise her kids. So she made it simple for him. I'm only going to have this child if you're willing to be a father for real, not this part-time every once in a while when I feel like it kind of dad. And faced with the prospect of losing her and his baby, he stepped up to the plate. He agreed to be there for their child and gave up his apartment and moved in with his girlfriend while they prepared for the birth of their son. Oh, she thought the proposal, the ring, and the wedding would follow shortly after the baby was born. To his credit, her boyfriend did come through with a ring, but she's been wearing it for 7 years now. And though she's been hoping, waiting, and praying for a wedding date, they're no closer to walking down the aisle today than they were the day their child was born. They share a home, they share parenting responsibilities, they share bills, schedules, car notes, church pews, and most certainly a bed. But they don't share the last name or a marriage certificate. She can't understand why they're playing house instead of making an official home together. He feels as if they've got a home, and really, there's not much more need to go any further than they already have. And this is the dilemma. See, to some men, marriage fits into the same category as eating vegetables. You know it's something you should be doing, but you don't really want to because, well, the greasy, fat-filled, salty, juicy burger and fries is just so much more satisfying. I've told you time and again in this book that we men are very simple creatures, and if it were not for women, we'd be living rather, well, simply. The money would go to mostly shiny things, our time would be spent watching sports and strippers, and there would be no need for most of us to keep a clean house, or dress nice, or do anything other than play video games. We're happy living this way. It makes us feel young and carefree. Marriage does not. Responsibility and marriage do not fit into that feeling until all of the playing gets tired and we realize we have to be grown-ups, or something or someone makes us grow up. But here's what you need to know. Men are pretty clear that marriage is what women want, that despite your independence, despite the statistics that say half the marriages in America end in divorce, despite the amount of time, work, sweat, and tears you know you'll have to pour into building an imperfect relationship, in the end, you women still believe in the fairy tale of the husband and the house and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids. Men are also clear that they can slowly give out the things that make it seem like they're making the march to the altar, just to keep you hanging in there. Trust me when I say this. Men do everything with a purpose. And in the case where a man dates you for an extended length of time, or moves in with you, or gives you a ring but still refuses to be pinned down on setting a wedding date, he's doing it to lock you down. He wants you, and he doesn't want anyone else to have you. And I'm here to tell you, the only reason a man gets away with a lengthy engagement or holds off the proposal altogether is because his woman hasn't required him to set the date. She is stupidly sitting there, allowing her boyfriend to dictate to her when he's ready. Though she slept with this man, cut off any other prospective husbands, and in some cases, moved in with him and even had his children. Now, I simply can't be diplomatic here. It's just plain dumb. Get into your man's mindset here. If a man is willing to be your boyfriend at length, live with you, be an involved father, or give you a ring, he has already taken himself off the players list, technically. He scratched his name off the sport fishing registry. He can't bring babes to the house. He can't talk on the phone or take any phone calls from babes at the house. He can't leave to go see a babe when he wants to, or stay with her all night. He knows he can't give his money to any other woman because he's pooling it with you. Why does a man in a committed relationship with you accept the above list of he can'ts? Because he wants you, and he doesn't want to lose you. So now, there's only one more step to get the marriage equation, the setting of the wedding date. You know you want it, so here's what you do. Get some requirements and standards and enforce them. Tell him, I love you, you love me. We're in a terrific relationship, one that I've always dreamed about, and what I want now is to be married to you. So I need you to set a date and get back to me in a couple of weeks. If I don't get asked by then please know I'm not sitting around waiting for you to dictate when my happiness button gets pushed. The arrangements we have now are not making me happy. What? This is a perfectly reasonable request. Otherwise, how long are you going to stay in the arrangement where you're not getting what you want? 4 years? 10 years? Forever? The timeline is yours. Stop giving up your power. The moment we see you're willing to put aside your hopes of walking down the aisle, we're going to shelve it too. And we're going to go ahead and keep on renting you out with the option to buy if you let us. Don't be the Baltic Avenue on the Monopoly board game, the one that anyone can just roll the dice, land on, and pay a couple of dollars to chill on without any obligations or worries. You've got to go to Broadway on the game board. Make your man round the corner and land on that high-end property. Recognize that you're prime real estate that's for purchase only. Note, this is not about asking your man to marry you. It's about taking yourself out of that 1945 mentality where you stand around waiting for some guy to beg you for your hand in marriage. You've had it drummed into your head so cold that I'll never ask a man to marry me thing, that you've lost all sensibility when it comes to getting what you want. But it's not 1945 anymore. Back in the day, when my parents and their generation were courting and getting married, women could afford to wait around for the man to get it together because, really, the options for men were limited. If a guy lived in a farmhouse, the next farmhouse was 2 miles away. And that one might not have a girl in it, just 2 more boys. So he'd have to walk another 2 miles to actually see a potential mate, much less find the one. And when they courted, they courted. He had to walk over there, write little messages on rocks on the way over so everybody knew his intentions, leave a note by the tree, and send up smoke signals so the girl knew what was up. Oh, the courtship was far more romantic because the men knew they had to behave properly, not just for their intendeds, but their intendeds' daddies. The boys had to go over to the house, ask permission to sit in the room together, and the adults were present because there weren't any extra rooms for them to sit in alone. And that courting culminated in the men pulling the fathers aside and, with their shoulders squared and chins up, asking the fathers for their daughters' hands in marriage. And whatever the father said is what went. Now, women have been taught all their lives that if a man loves you, he will court you and ask for your hand in marriage. The problem with this is that you've been trained to use 20th century logic in 21st century situations. There's no slim pickings of women out here. Women are at every turn, working with men, living in apartment buildings with them, riding the bus and trains with them, hanging out at the clubs with them. Technology such that you can contact a woman without ever even seeing her. It's not 1945 anymore. You can't hang on to those old ways. This, if he wants to marry me, he'll ask me thing has got to stop. Because we're not going to ask you when you're ready. We're going to play with you until you give us your requirements and standards and stand by them. I'm not telling you to get on bended knee. I'm telling you to set a timeline for the ring and the date and tell the man you want to be married to what it is. I recognize that this is hard, but let me tell you what's really hard. Dating, living with, having a baby with, a man who has no intention of marrying you, and 8 years up the road, he walks out and you're left to find a new man, pay all the bills after years of splitting them with someone else, raising those kids on your own. Oh, it can be done, but recognize just how hard that will be. All I'm suggesting is that you get the little uncomfortable moments out of the way early. Let him know now what you want and expect. Make clear to him what you're worth and that you come at a cost. Tell him how much you're worth like you're about to list yourself on eBay for $1 million. Break down your value. Say, I respect you. I adore you. I'm affectionate. I pay attention to you. I'm punctual. I'm kind. I'm loyal. I'll have your children and love them madly. And all of this is available for a handsome sum. I need your time, loyalty, support, affection, attention, punctuality, kindness, gentleman ways, and I need the doors opened, chairs pulled out, your respect, and above all else, your love. I also expect a diamond ring and a walk down the aisle. Now, when a man hears this, he's going to pay attention, because you've placed a high value on yourself. He'll see that and question the situation. Is she worth all of that? If your cost is too high, he will move on. But you don't want that guy anyway, right? He's just looking to rent you. People who rent don't care anything about the property they're with. They let it get run down, beat up, don't care what it looks like. They use the space, and when they find something better, they decline the new lease and they move on out and on to the next rental. You want the guy who is ready to make the Broadway purchase, the one who's looking to move in, stay a while, take care of the lawn, make sure the plumbing is right, paint the walls, add furniture, pay the mortgage faithfully. You know, make your house a home. That guy right there, he's the one who will take responsibility and pop the question, like you need him to. After all, boys shack, men build homes. Demand that he be a man about it. If he's not in love with you, he's not going to go for any of this, so now you know. But if he loves you, he will profess it. He will provide for you, and he will protect you. If he really loves you, the ultimate profession is, this is my wife. You can start with, this is my girl, or this is my baby's mother, or even, this is my fiancé. But after a couple of years, you need to move beyond this fiancé title. At the very least, you deserve clarity, because women do not do well without clarity. The thing you all want to know is, where's this relationship going? Do you love me? Am I the one? What do you see for us? That's it in a nutshell. Every man knows this is coming up the road for him. He may not be ready for it now, but if he's not ready for it now and you are, then you don't have a good match, do you? So why waste all of your valuable years on something that's not going where you want it to go? Instead, you should seek out someone else who wants to go where you're going. I truly believe that's why there are so many women in their mid-30s unmarried, because somewhere along the line, they just didn't put their foot down and move on. But I can tell you from personal experience, put your foot down, set some standards, and watch how fast he falls in line. The reason I'm married to Marjorie today is because she had a timeline, some requirements, and some standards. I saw them early in our relationship. I saw them on the night our relationship was about to end. I saw them when I got her back. I'll tell you this much. If I still had the factory job at Ford, and she needed $400 of my $600 paycheck, I would have given it to her. I want to protect her, and she makes me proud to be her man. You can have this, too. Don't be another heartbreak story. Start putting yourself first. Get where you want to be and make your man be all that he can be. Remember this. The number one cause of failure in this country is the fear of failure. Fear paralyzes you from taking action. Don't be afraid to lose him. Because if a man truly loves you, he's not going anywhere. Part 4. From his woman to his wife, winning his heart for a lifetime. Chapter 15. Managing the X-Files. How to keep your cool when his past arrives. Ladies, if you're dating a man over the age of 30, there's sure to be an ex or two lurking in the shadows of your relationship. You don't know when or where she will strike, but trust me, she will show up when you least expect it, at a coworker's baby shower, at a good friend's birthday party, or on a random Saturday afternoon at your favorite brunch spot. She waves at you and your man and makes her way across the room. Before you panic, here are surefire tips for staying calm when the X-Files open up. Number 1. Be cool. When she makes her way over, be cool, calm, and confident. Let your man take the lead in the conversation. If he is truly committed to you and your relationship, he will have no problem introducing you to his ex as his woman. This impromptu meeting will be the perfect opportunity for him to demonstrate his commitment to you and show you off to his ex. Now, if he doesn't use this opportunity to make it clear that he is in a new relationship, you have every right to question the status of your relationship and to keep your antennae raised about his former flame. Number two, be confident. Don't let your brain go into overdrive and start comparing yourself to your man's ex. She might be taller, thinner, or more accomplished, but that has nothing to do with you and how incredible you are. There's a reason she's your man's ex, and that you're now the queen of his heart. Number three, be you. When an opening in the conversation arises, give your man's ex a polite and confident greeting and be genuinely you. You don't have to put on any fake airs or trumpet your achievements to this woman that you don't even know. Stay true to who you are. Number four, be elegant and graceful. If you can sense that his ex has a tendency to be inappropriate or dramatic, you take the high road and be elegant and graceful. Don't stoop down to her level with sharp words or a nasty attitude. Let your man know that you can be a lady at all times. In today's dating world, it's highly probable that your dating adventures will include relationships with men who have children from former relationships. If children are not a non-negotiable for you, and you've reached the point in your relationship where you're meeting and spending significant time with his children, here is how you can navigate a good relationship with the mother of your man's children. Number five, be honest. Insist that your man give you ample time to meet with the mother of his children and begin establishing a foundation for a trusting relationship. Let her know who you are and how you will be spending time with her children. If you are a mother yourself, you know how important it is to make sure you know all the people who are involved in your children's lives. Make sure that you give this woman the same courtesy. Number six, be patient. Don't expect your man's ex to automatically be open. You don't know what the nature of the relationship was with your man and his ex. She could be polite and cordial on the surface, but deep down inside, she might not be comfortable with your man being in a new relationship and exposing her children to his new woman. Give her the time and space she needs to be comfortable with this new relationship. Number seven, be an adult. If it's been more than a few months and your man's ex is still being icy and cold, ask her to have a woman-to-woman conversation about your relationship. If she's open, take the time to talk about her concerns and fears. Let her voice her thoughts about you spending time with her children. By the same token, don't be a pushover. Make sure this woman respects you and your relationship. If a conversation isn't possible, maybe this is the time to rethink whether it's appropriate to be involved in his children's lives. We've all seen those Hollywood movies and reality TV shows where running into your man's ex can lead to a drink being thrown in his face or an uncomfortable conversation between the women with fingers pointing. In the real world, you don't have to let running into an ex become an ugly episode in your life. If there's still dirty laundry hanging between your man and his ex, let him handle those issues. It's not your place to jump into a situation that happened before your relationship. If those old ex-files bleed into your new relationship, be upfront and tackle any disrespectful actions or conversations with your man head on. Ladies, you don't have to go the Hollywood route and be anything less than the queen that you are. You can be a dignified woman and trust that when you set the standard, you give your man's ex permission to be that same caliber of woman. The Ex Preparation Toolkit. Ladies, you know yourself better than anyone else. You know what situations are likely to take you from classy to trashy in 2.2 seconds. Take this short inventory to make sure that you are well prepared for an ex or whatever visitors decide to lurk out from his past. List the top five scenarios that push me over the edge. List the top five trigger words in an argument. List the top five people to call when I'm angry. List the top five ways to restore my peace of mind. Chapter 16. Making the First 90 Days Count. By now, my 90-day rule has become the gospel for many women, and I know that by insisting on holding on to the cookie, you are setting a great foundation for really getting to know this new man in your life and determining if he's worthy of one of your most valuable possessions. While you know the basics of the rule, so many of you have asked me, Steve, what exactly are we supposed to do in the first 90 days? How do I keep him interested in me until we are ready to make our relationship physical? Here's my 3-month playbook for how you can really make a connection with him while you are waiting. Month 1. At this point in your dating, at the mere mention of his name, your entire body lights up. You can't wait until your next date, and you're trying your best not to call him more than 4 to 5 times a day. He's already caught up in your spell, so you don't have to jump at every invitation or be so eager that he loses interest. Make us do a little work, ladies. A good man doesn't mind going the extra mile to win your affection. You caught his eye because you were already busy living your life. Make sure that you stay occupied during these first 30 days by keeping up with the things that you love, like your standing mani-pedi appointment with your mother, or a night on the town with your girlfriends. It's all right to have a few stars in your eyes, but don't let them make you miss out on these valuable getting-to-know-you moments in your first month. Number 1. Learn about his favorite things. Does he prefer bow ties over neckties? Foreign films over blockbuster action films? Quiet conversation over big crowds? Start taking mental notes of the things that make this man happy. Number 2. Be firm on your non-negotiables. He's a great guy, but he has a tendency for being late. You're overlooking it now because his tardy arrival is usually accompanied by a bouquet of flowers or just the right sweet words that make your heart melt. Ladies, I'm telling you now, these little annoying habits might seem inconsequential at the beginning of your relationship, but they will be the very things that make you lose your mind with your man down the line. I know you might be thinking that 30 days is too soon to criticize him for something so small, but honesty is truly the best policy at this stage in the game to keep your relationship on track and to give you the best opportunities to get to know each other. 3. Keep your standards high. Ladies, as I have said to you many times before, get yourself some standards and stick to them. If this man is truly worth your time and energy, start your dating relationship with him by first being clear with yourself about what your standards are and making sure that he abides by your rules. No amount of sweet talking and eye gazing should make you lower your standards. Number 4. Lay the foundation for a friendship. I know right now that he is the yin to your yang, the salt to your pepper, and the crackle in your Rice Krispies. But when you come up for air, you're going to need a strong friendship to go the distance in your relationship. Every successful couple I know who's been together for more than 10 years have all noted that friendship has been the cornerstone of their union. Take the time to get to know what's most important to him, who his real friends are, and what he is passionate about. Learning these things about your man will not only make for great conversation along the way, they will also give you the keys to becoming his friend. Number 5. Set the tone for strong, clear communication. In this age of texting and social media, it's inevitable that a good portion of your communication will be over phone or computer. But make sure that you set the standard now for genuine, heart-to-heart conversations. Also, if he's a night owl and you're an early bird, it might not be so cute to send him that "I'm thinking of you" text message at 6 a.m. It's important for you to establish firm rules in the early stages of your relationship about when it's appropriate to contact each other. But remember to keep it sexy. Month 2. The stars are still shining, and when his name pops up on the phone, you still fly across the room to answer. Your standards are still in place, and learning new things about each other is a daily treat. You can keep that sizzle going in your second month with these relationship pointers. 1. Recognize him for the little things. Did he surprise you with an afternoon lunch, or wash your car and fill up your tank just because? Nothing warms a man's heart more than knowing that you appreciate him, even for the small things. 2. Visit each other's houses of worship. Being open and willing to explore the foundation of each other's faith is truly an intimate invitation to the deepest part of who you are. If your man extends an invitation to his church, synagogue, or mosque, consider it a high honor and treat the service with reverence. If he doesn't attend the church, invite him to attend yours. 3. Explore something new together. By now, I'm sure you've done dinner and a movie more times than you can count over the last 30 days. Break the mold and invite him to take a cooking class with you. Plan a Saturday afternoon volunteering with your local homeless shelter. Keeping an interesting lineup of dates will help to keep your relationship fresh. 4. Be observant. You've mostly seen his cool and suave side, but how is he under pressure? How does he treat his mother? How does he treat waiters at restaurants or a cabbie in the street? Taking note of these little things will give you more keys to what really lies in your man's heart. See my tips in Flags on the Play? 5. Allow him to be there for you. If you get a flat tire on the side of the road, or you have a rough day at work, reach out to him and let him be there for you. This isn't a test of his manhood, but an opportunity to see if this is truly a man you can rely on when life throws you a curveball. Month 3. All right, this man is aiming high and exceeding your wildest expectations. Those surprise cupcakes after your rough meeting with your boss were just the right touch. Staying on the phone with you while you bawled your eyes out about your sister showed you that he could be just the man you've been looking for. He just might be worthy of your cookie after all. Before you start warming up your oven, take these final steps into consideration as you prepare to cross the finish line. 1. Introduce him to one or two key people in your inner circle. Now, I didn't say bring him over for Sunday dinner with the entire family. You don't want to overwhelm him just yet. At this stage, invite a good friend to join you for dessert or a drink at the end of a meal and see what he or she thinks about his potential. You don't have to take their word as law, but take their opinions into careful consideration and make sure that you haven't been so love drunk over the last 60 days that you've missed the big picture. 2. Talk about your sexual history. Ladies, don't even think about pulling the wrapper off your cookies until you have an honest discussion on both ends about your intimate past. If he's not willing to do so, that's a definite flag that this man doesn't respect you or your standards. 3. Let him into your world. Invite him to volunteer with you at your favorite charity, or ask him to meet you at your local farmer's market. Give him access to the activities that are most important to you and feed your spirit. 4. Know where you stand. You've been watching your calendar like a hawk, and it's day 89. Tomorrow is D-Day. But do you know where you really stand with this man? Are you confident that you're both moving in the same direction? Can you see a future with this man? Don't let these last 90 days be just another dating thing you're trying out. Be sure that before you part with your cookie, that this is your choice. Remember, ladies, you have the control here. There's no way that we can get into your intimate space without your permission. Flags on the Play. Your time with this man has been nothing short of magic, but he's done a few things here and there during your first 2 months that gave you pause. It's been a long time since a man this worthy has pulled up in your driveway. So are his bad habits worth deleting him from your smartphone and blocking him from your Facebook page? You know how you ladies are when you see red. Here are 5 flags on the play that you should definitely check before you move on to your last 30 days. Flag 5. You only meet when it's convenient for his schedule. Flag 4. He has peculiar phone habits, including suddenly hanging up, persistently ignoring certain calls in your presence, or taking more than 24 hours to return your calls, or only uses text to communicate with you. Flag 3. He refuses to allow you to meet his friends and loved ones. Flag 2. He is very evasive about his past. You don't need to know about his detention streak in third grade, but by this point, you should know major details in his background, such as a divorce or children from a previous relationship. Flag 1. He ignores you in public and does not display affection. Be aware. The morning after day 90. Now what? You were hot. He was hotter. You pulled out all the stops. You planned the perfect night in. The home-cooked meal, the right music, the candles, and the highest heels you could stand. One look from across the table after dessert, and it was on! But it's now the morning after, and your skyrockets in flight didn't fly quite as high as you expected. Maybe they didn't even get off the ground. Was all your waiting even worth the wait? Of course it was. If you've taken the time to set up a good foundation for communication and expectations for your relationship, this is just a small bump in the road. I know every other relationship book out there says not to talk with your man about his sexual performance, but that's not my advice. Any real man is going to want to know how he can please you more and make your relationship better. Talk with him. Be open about what you need. Keep the lines of communication open. Most of the magic that happens in the bedroom starts before you get there. So don't be afraid to send him that sexy text message or a picture of what he can expect later. When you nurture every part of your relationship, your intimacy will be a natural extension of your growing affection for each other. Month 1 Checklist. Don't let this first month go by unnoticed. Make a note of the great and not-so-great moments in your first month. What are his top 5 favorite things? What are your non-negotiables? What are the qualities that you enjoy the most in a friendship with a man? What do you need to establish clear communication? Month 2 Checklist. 1 month down and just 2 more to go. Let's dig a little deeper into what makes this man tick. List 6 little things that he does for you in month 2. Create a list of 5 new things you can try together. Any red flags popping up? Note any behaviors that give you pause. Month 3 Checklist. You're almost there. Here are a few more pointers before you cross the finish line. Share 5 unique things with him that you haven't shared before. Before you talk with him, write down where you believe you are in your relationship. Chapter 17. Your career, his ambitions. How to make your dreams work together. How we make our living is important to both men and women. In these tighter economic times, we know that good jobs are hard to find and harder to keep. So should love ever be a factor in your career decisions, or should you gamble on a man who's yet to be at his full potential? Let's take a look at these two burning issues in today's dating climate. Should I sacrifice my dreams for him? Ladies, I have to take my